What day of the week is
Pudley thrilling?
Thrilling.
Thursday.
Thrilling.
Thrilling.
Thursday.
Thrilling subject.
You don't sound thrilled about it.
All right, fine. I'm thrilled. Okay, thrilled.
Oh, great.
It's just Thursday.
Thursday
is more than just another Thursday.
All right, then.
Come on, thrill me. Chill me.
Showtime.
Live and local with Monica J. on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
As I said, I'll give you an update on Monica here in just a bit. It's Jerry Evans in for Monica, 884-9910. Bob, hang on for a second, and I just have to make this comment real quick. You heard during the news. D's are reeling in the R's, just like just like those cutthroat up at Pyramid. I don't know if anybody's seen any of the pictures of the big trout they're pulling in at Pyramid. What a phenomenal, one of the, it's a treasure in Nevada, and I hope you're not listening to me right now because I don't want it to get overused or overfished or overpopulated in terms of people out there, but Pyramid Lake is one of the treasures of Nevada. Who named it? That's not for $100 because I know I'm supposed to do that before I get off the show, but I'm running out of money. Who named Pyramid Lake? I will tell you. John C. Fremont, he and Kit Carson and his group camped across from that pyramid-looking rock outcropping, just right across from it. There's a drawing of it, and he named Pyramid Lake, John C. Fremont. Let's go to the phone calls. Jared is calling in from, are you working at the subway in Gardnerville, Jared? Or?
No, I am not.
Good.
How are you?
Good. How are you, Jared?
Great. I know I wanted to mention two things. I was going to let you know I have a number 3 shell holder for you. I accidentally bought. If you'd like it, I can send it out for free.
Okay. I would like to get that. I'm going up to visit my son in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I'm leaving Sunday. He's been looking all over, even in Idaho, and cannot find one. I have a couple of them myself, but if you've got one, I will buy it from you with American dollars, paper money.
Sure. Yeah, it's not for the press. It's for the hand primer.
Yep.
Not sure if you need that.
Yeah,
but
yeah, either one.
Yeah.
I definitely like to get the. Tell you what. Call me at 884-8000. You can call in as soon as you get off the phone with this on the air, and I'll get your number and I'll hook up with you and grab that from you if you don't mind.
Great, will do. And I also wanted to invite people around the areas about the Desert Pig. Desert cleanups. Have you heard of that Desert Pigs?
No, I haven't. Fill me in on that because I was going to mention this, that something about what Google had underneath their search bar yesterday was search for women-led businesses in your area. So if you want to do business only with women-led businesses, you could have done that yesterday. Today is because it's Earth Day. See how Google is helping people restore our oceans, trees, and wildlife. And with that, I'm thinking, yeah, good, thank you, I don't have to do anything. But I will take hunters to task for throwing cans or plastic bottles down. I figure I do my part when I'm out hunting or out in the woods and I see trash. In fact, I was taking a walk 2 or 3 weeks ago down toward Indian Reservoir, and I think we counted 4 or 5 empty Jack Daniel's bottles along that road and picked those up and took them out with us. Don't be careless and stupid, but fill us in on the, you said pig thing?
Desert pigs, yeah.
Desert
pigs. We just did a clean, they've cleaned up a total of 500,000 square feet of land, and I just joined their 6th chapter starting in Gardnerville, and we just cleaned up the sand pits of the shooting, a couple of the shooting spots, and I pulled out 3 trailer loads of garbage that people shoot out there and just targets. And I want to encourage people, you know, freeze like some buckets of ice or discs, and it's a lot more fun to shoot, and there's nothing to pick up afterwards. I don't understand the appeal of shooting garbage and leaving it.
Yeah, I agree. But, good for you.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to get out, get some exercise and do a good deed and clean up scattered trash, because once the wind gets to it, it just scatters everywhere. And once you start looking, and it's just everywhere, all over the ground, and it's a lot of fun. It's very therapeutic. But go to desertpigs.com And, Phil Woolley is an amazing guy. You'll get a window sticker and a cool Don't Shoot Me vest. it's pretty great.
All right. So this weekend?
We just did that. But there's a Fernley one this Saturday at 9, and they're meeting at the out-of-town park.
Okay.
So, if you go on the website, desertpigs.com, you'll see all the information.
All right.
Yeah, really great organization.
All right. Well, good for you and those guys, and be happy to. You want to keep us updated, send an email to jerry@evansbroadcast.com. We'll make sure we run PSAs for that and whatnot and do what we can to help you do that. And that's good work. I appreciate it very much. And appreciate the shell holder as well. Like I said, if there's a business or maybe the guys down at Cerakote that you want to drop it off or whatever, but we can meet up and I'll grab that from you. I need to get it before I head to Idaho this Sunday. So appreciate the call, Jared, and the help with the shell holder. It's Tradio at 884-9910. I understand Bob from California has got a nice trailer, a goat trailer. He'd like to trade for some wicker furniture. Is that true, Bob? Bob, are you there?
Well, this is Bob, but I'm not a goat trader, and I'm not from California.
Oh.
I'm from Sparks, Nevada.
Oh, okay. All right. I think...
I used to live in the once great state of California, 40 years.
I grew up in California.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of us that believe me. But then it's a little off subject here.
Yeah.
Number one, could you repeat where Sheriff Mack is going to be speaking and where do I get tickets?
Yes. Give me a second. I just put that over here and I will do that. And in the meantime, Bob, tell us about podcast.
Okay. My podcast, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. You're probably familiar with this. But just in case some of your listeners aren't, this was an article by Christopher Dahier, who's the Sparks City Councilman. It was in the recent Senior Spectrum magazine. And he's talking about this group of people that put together this homeless thing that they're building, okay? And expects to be open in April of 2021. It will house 900 people, 46,000 square feet, okay?
Well, that's now.
Well, okay, that's fine. Now, my question...
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
My question is, okay, so it's ongoing now. Number one, supposedly it's going to be used to get the homeless, et cetera. They call them unsheltered, but hey, it's homeless, okay? Mm-hmm. Off of the Truckee River in different places. And if it's open now, do you know, are they actually doing it?
Well, fortunately, I have a residence that has electricity and plumbing and am not homeless yet. Working towards that, but I really don't know. I'm not making light of the subject. I don't know if it's open or not. Maybe somebody listening lives in Sparks could tell us.
Well, it says right here. The first phase of the new facility is slotted to open on April 16, 2021. That was a few days ago, okay? Now, my question is, number one, it's going to be at 4th Street and Prater in the city of Reno, okay? And they have a picture of the working guys and so forth. And again, ultimately, it's supposed to hold 900 people, okay? Now, my question is, are they going to start getting people in there, number one? And number two, can we expect to see buses coming up from the southern border full of people dropped off at this particular facility? I'm very concerned.
All right. First of all,
put in there?
Bob, first of all, somebody has told me here that it is April of 2022. And
this is a mistake because they have it here specifically April 16th. 2021, okay? So they made a big mistake, like a year.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're headed that way, you may not find a new residence there waiting for you there. So I'd maybe just... I'd make light of this subject, but it's actually pretty sad what's happening to the to the shores or the banks of the Truckee River and the homeless.
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, my God. It's you don't want to walk down there with your children if you have children. And you do feel unsafe. It's just natural that you would walk by a completely trashed area like that because it looks like a dump in several spots along the Truckee River. You don't want to go down near there. And that's a beautiful spot. The Truckee River, they're destroying it. And you wonder, what is wrong with these people other than them being homeless and having no sense whatsoever and trashing it, and mostly mental illness, I guess.
Well, let me just say that I'm not unsympathetic. My own brother-in-law has been unsheltered, i.e. homeless, living in his pickup truck for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And my wife and her sisters tried to get him off the street a number of times. We tried to get him. He's a welder, certified welder. He preferred the independence. He had it all figured out. What night the church was going to serve dinner, where he could get a shower, where he could get medical help if he needed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this went on for years, absolutely on for years. There was no way he was going to do it. And finally, he got sick enough. We moved him to Idaho, got him a small apartment, and he died in about 6 months after that.
Hmm.
Okay, so again, I am not unsympathetic to the so-called, quote-unquote, unsheltered, but there is a situation where these people prefer, many of them, their lifestyle, and they're not doing a whole lot to it. And I know there are people. I've known other people that have been unsheltered for a while, and they got out of it. So again, this is not something that I'm not familiar with.
Okay? You know, I would take somebody's word, Bob, if they said, "Look, this is the way I want to live," and as long as they're not trashing the environment or the the Truckee River or whatever, if they want to live like that, let them. Some people, help the helpless. You can't help the clueless or anybody who wants to live like that. Let them live the way they want to live. That's what the country is supposed to be about. So, Bob, real quickly, though, one of the questions I'd have would be who paid for that or who's paying for that homeless shelter for 900 people? But let me give you the details on Sheriff Max speaking because there are tickets still available. Real quick, I'm looking right now. Have you got a pen? Or paper?
I got it. I'm all ready to go.
A pencil? Do you have a quill ink pen?
Well, you being the smart out of it now.
Sorry. 411.
I made a quill pen that worked when I was a kid. Okay?
Out of
it. So there you go.
Turkey or goose feather?
Feather.
Turkey,
no,
goose, or did you illegally kill a bald eagle, didn't you?
No, I did not. Where I grew up, there were no bald eagles, just bald old men.
All right, well, here you go. Call Kathy Doyle, 415.
Kathy.
It is a 415. Okay. She's from here. Don't hold her area code against her. 415.
408.
415. Well, in that particular case, I'm going to have to let you go. Cut them off. No. 415-823-1755.
1755, yeah. And she'll have all the information I need then.
Yeah, exactly.
Where and how to pay for it, all that.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
I plan
to be there.
All right, good deal. All right, thanks for the call, Bob. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Jerry.
It is 11:19. We'll take a break, and phone lines opening up now at 884-9910. We'll take this quick break. Lynn, hang in there. We'll get your call, and we'll get you on the air. And I got to update you on Monica. I'll do that right after we take this break and come back with Lynn.
This is not headline news. Courtney Cox will star in a horror TV show. It'll be her second horror project since Scream, third counting her marriage to David Arquette. Adam Sandler's new movie is called Spaceman. It's a satire about the iniquities of our space program. Just kidding. It's about an astronaut who farts. Lamar Odom laughed at the idea of a Kardashian curse that affects men who date the women in the family. Then he took a hit off a crack pipe and continued training for celebrity boxing against Aaron Carter. The White House launched a vaccine outreach to rural Americans. So if you're using a cinder block as furniture, Joe Biden's looking for you. And the world's first weed-scented perfume is here. It's called Eau de Post Malone. This is not headline news.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Welcome back. 11:24. Jerry Evans in for Monica J. Monica announced yesterday on social media, I have to be told this because I do not participate in any form of social media whatsoever, with the exception of radio, that she got the Rona and got pretty dang sick. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's go to Lynn real quick. Lynn from Yerington, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Appreciate what you're doing. And Monica, God's healing power be with you, girl. Real quick to my point, there at the border, it is an environmental mess with the trash. And we're supposed to see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil of it. And so I'm wondering, are they going to hire Americans during this this reset to go down there and pick that up? I'm wondering. Yeah, I'm going to hand it back to you.
thank you, Lynn. Appreciate that. You should see what happened to my hometown in California. This goes back, 15, 16 years. I don't go there very often, but I went back there about 15 years ago. And an area of town, I grew up poor. I did not ever live in a very nice house when I grew up in the town of Porterville. And the east side of Porterville, which is a beautiful scenic area if you keep your eyes above the rooftops, but East Porterville looks like Tijuana. And I know what Tijuana looks like because I used to drive across the border and work at one of those big, powerful 91X radio stations where I had to drive to Tijuana 5 days a week and work down there at a radio station. So, let's go to Chris in Sparks. Chris, how are you?
Actually, it's Curtis, but anyway.
Chris, let me call you Chris for the day. The call screener wrote Chris.
Okay.
Curtis, how are you?
Okay, fine. Some inside baseball on the ammo shortage.
Yeah.
Longtime competitive rifle shooter and reloader. First of all, yes, demand did exceed supply, but Remington Ammunition was down for most of this because of
bankruptcy. Yeah.
Okay. Another thing a lot of people don't realize, there are only four centerfire primer producers in the country, and that is Remington, Winchester, Federal, and CCI.
Mm-hmm.
Centerfire primers are the one sticking point in the production. They are not automated. It's all done by hand because they're handling a high explosive.
Those tiny little primers are hand built?
Yeah, it's manual. They've tried to come up with an automated way, but it doesn't work. It's all manual labor.
Huh.
They're handling a high explosive while it's wet so it doesn't blow up on them.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you real quick because, again, we're going to get inside the tall grass, as they say, as a reloader myself, shooter, avid hunter. When I was going elk hunting in Utah 2 years ago, and I started a muzzleloader hunt, and I started using the primer, a Pyrodex primer, or excuse me, powder that I had had for, it had probably been 10 or 15, maybe at least 10 or 12 years since I had hunted with a muzzleloader, and it was awful. And my son pointed out to me, Dad, it's in the garage, it gets cold, it gets hot, it gets cold, it gets hot. Powder goes bad, correct?
Yeah, it ages. There's ways to tell on modern smokeless powder if it's gone bad, but yeah, it ages.
How do you tell, other than the gun not shooting as accurate as it used to be?
Well, if you open the can and it still smells like ether, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
If you shake the can a little bit and get a red dust coming up, it's bad.
Oh, okay. Well, that helps. And again, like I was saying with Tom Gresham, again, thanks to Tom for joining us, and he'll be on this Sunday 11 to 2 on 92.3 and 99.1 with Gun Talk, is you see it on the shelf and you want to buy as much as you can because you know there may be a shortage down the road, but it does go bad.
Well, yeah, but if you store it in a cool, dark place, it'll last for a long time.
Well, the can is the container's a cool is a dark place. I don't know how cool it is. Let me get to again. I don't want to bore too many people, this is right up.
Okay, but there's
my
one
alley.
Other thing you need to know.
Yeah.
There's only one domestic modern powder plant in the United States.
Right. The one in Missouri closed. Yeah. There was one in Missouri that closed down during the Obama administration. Do you remember that?
Okay. This is in. Yeah. No, but this one is in Florida. All other modern smokeless powders are imported from Australia, Canada, Europe, and Scandinavia.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's completely gone off the shelves as well. What do you shoot long range?
Well, I used to do Palma, and I was doing F class, but the
no,
eyes
I mean the caliber.
Away, so
you shot competition. I'm just as the everyday guy who I believe I've got a shooting course coming up with. Charlie Melton here. We're having another second annual Axelson Foundation golf, and this year added shooting courses with some Navy SEALs, some Special Forces guys, and I believe I have a course set up with Charlie Melton. And for those of you that don't know, Charlie Melton used to have the world record for the longest shot, and he is also the guy that trained Marcus Luttrell, Chris Kyle, and many others, and also trained the crew that went in and rescued Captain Wilson. Well, Charlie is hopefully coming to the Axelson Foundation Father's Day weekend. I have a long-range course set up with him. The reason why I asked, I recently got a 6.5 PRC that...
that's the way to go.
Yeah, just breaking it in and breaking in the barrel during some scouting for a sheep hunt last year. Was accurate out to almost 700 yards. That's how far we could get a rangefinder on a target, and awfully good round and a good rifle.
Yeah, my primary round for high power was .308 Winchester, and then when I went to F class, I'm shooting a Wildcat called the 260 Ackley Improved. It's basically it's a 260 Remington with the shoulders blown out.
Yeah.
So it's a 6.5 bullet. But, yeah, the 6mm and 6.5 family has it all over for the 308 and the 223 for less wind drift.
And you can't find it anywhere, and that's why. And, I by the way, I haven't switched from. I still have the gun. I should put it up for sale. I actually have a... custom action and barrel, and a 280 Ackley Improved is what I use for the last 4 or 5 years. But this is a conversation for Gun Talk on a Sunday with somebody who knows more about what they're talking about. But Bob, thank you for the call. Appreciate you listening. And we got to take a bottom of the hour break. I will update you on Monica. I got to tell you, she's really. I don't want to say anything that isn't accurate, but she got really sick, and I think she would agree that she could have stayed out of the hospital had she been able to get hydroxychloroquine, as well as the Z-Max and zinc. And those you can get, but the hydroxychloroquine, which was banned, our beautiful, ingenious government officials who should be involved in your medical... It was banned, and here's how stupid they are. And I'm talking about you, Governor Sisolak, and all of you people across the, mostly Democrats across the United States, who stopped doctors from being able to give hydroxychloroquine to patients, to people who were feeling sick or whatever. She could have avoided going to the hospital had she got that, maybe. I'm no doctor, but one of my best friends is a doctor. And if there's any way you can get yourself some hydroxychloroquine and the Erythromax and zinc, I'd have it on hand, because Monica worked for a week doing the show and then just got terribly sick. She got the run. I know there are people out there, the haters, that are just overjoyed and feeling great that she got it, because she, like me, is a non-mask-wearing free citizen. The state of Nevada, And she, and here's the other crazy thing. She stays home most of the time. She does the show from home, but she got it. She's not feeling up to talking about it yet in terms of how she thinks she may have got it, but hopefully she's feeling better. And if there's any kind of an update or a little bit more detail, I'll give it to you in just a moment. But let's take the bottom of the hour break. Your calls are welcome. 884-9910. If you are a Republican, currently an elected Republican, I should say, and I always try to make the qualifier that when I refer to Republicans or Democrats, I'm referring to those of you that got elected that hold office, not people like me that may be a Republican and even some Democrats. So I'm going to talk some Republican right after this, give you a Monica update and some Muth truth as well right after this. 884-9910, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
No furloughs, no bankruptcies, no debt. Nevada's live and local talk radio, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Jerry Evans in for Monica J, 884-9910. Let's jump right to the, it's pointed out to me how often I butcher names. I called Curtis, Chris, or Bob, Fred, or something like that. Let's go to, I'm going to have fun with this one, Pammy. Pammy, how are you?
Hi, thank you so very much for taking my call. I live in South Lake Tahoe. I've studied nutrition my whole life as a hobby. And my godfather, who was a veterinarian here in South Lake Tahoe for 44 years, who's a very, very wise man. He's a holistic veterinarian, and he's also a homeopathic for animals and people. And ivermectin has been used with animals and on the farms for many, many, many years when they don't have to call the vet if they have something wrong with their horses or their cattle. But now ivermectin is being used instead of hydroxychloroquine for COVIDs, and everyone is having excellent results with the ivermectin. It's a natural but it's an antiviral. And you can get it from AmericasFrontlineDoctors.com.
Okay.
AmericasFrontline.com. And you don't even have to have COVIDs to get it. You can just call the doctor. They'll send you the ivermectin. You put it in your cupboard. And then when you feel the onset of symptoms, you have your ivermectin in your cupboard. It's a natural antiviral.
All right. Well, thank you for the advice.
I want to undo that one more time. It's not really a natural. It's an antiviral. And people can Google it. It's ivermectin. I-V-E-R-M-E-C-T-I-N.
All right. Good enough. Thank you.
But America's Frontline Doctors.com.
All right. Phyllis, thank you so much for that call. Randall, Silver Springs. Randall, thanks for calling, and thanks for listening to 92.3 and 99.1. At the same time, I understand. One in each ear.
Yes. Evans, I got a big news story. Clinton, former Secretary of State Hillary Ron Clinton, will be going to the gallows.
Hang on a second. Randall?
Yes?
Back away from your phone or something. There's a lot of wind or something, so I couldn't quite understand. Who's going to the gallows?
There's a lot of wind.
That's better.
Hillary Ron Clinton has been going to be executed, and she'd be going for a military execution the 26th of this month. Would you like to have those websites?
Hillary Clinton, did you say?
Yeah. She'd be convicted. And
going to the
Monday
gallows. All right. Thank you, Randall from Silver Springs. I read that too. In fact, I've been following that story. And that website, I didn't quite get it. Is it www.IllBelieveAnythingYouWrite.com? All right. I wanted to get to this just real quickly again. Monica, we wish you the best, and hopefully she'll get better. She got really, really sick, and she could have avoided going to the hospital. And as soon as the call screener gets off the call, I'm going to call, do that soundbite from One America News real quick.
The Centers for Disease Control have updated their death counts for coronavirus and reveal yet again that COVID-19 is rarely the actual cause of death among coronavirus patients. According to the CDC themselves, of the 220,000 deaths attributed to the coronavirus, 87,000 of them died from pneumonia and influenza. Another 17,000 died from chronic respiratory diseases, and 26,000 died from respiratory distress syndrome. 44,000 patients died from hypertensive diseases, 23,000 died from heart disease, and a whopping 28,000 died from cardiac arrest and heart failure. Yet all of these, even patients who died from heart attacks, were marked down as dying from the coronavirus. Doctors who spoke with One America News explained that 131,000 patients who are being considered COVID-19 deaths already had life-ending diseases, including cancer, dementia, and even end-stage renal failure. And according to the CDC again, if you look at place of death, you'll see that some 10,000 patients who died from COVID were on hospice care, meaning they were terminally ill to begin with and were already expected to die. Doctors tell One America News that all of these patients were critically ill and likely died from their pre-existing conditions without any help from the coronavirus. However, they explain that the CARES Act, passed by Congress in March, gives hospitals a 20% bonus on their diagnosis-related group paid for by Medicare. Essentially, that means doctors are being paid to list deaths as coronavirus without any indication the patient's death was actually COVID-related. The CDC backs these numbers up, explaining that coronavirus itself is responsible for just 6% of all deaths listed as coronavirus-related. The other 94% of deaths are due to pre-existing comorbidities, including serious illnesses and advanced age. However, despite this report being officially published by the CDC, so far the mainstream media have completely ignored it, instead continuing to hype a pandemic that seems less dangerous every day.
And you can't get away from the ignorance of, including on this radio station at the top of the hour, of the Fox News reporters just reading what is put in front of them and not using any sense whatsoever or questioning anything that is put in front of them. That was from One America News, and we said this from the very beginning. I remember when all of this started, March 17th, March 18th of last year. I was very, very skeptical from the beginning. It's not a pat on my back. I had a doctor friend come in who bought into it wholeheartedly, who has since backed off, done a 180 on it. It is a farce, a scam, government control. It's a very, very serious flu. Virus, whatever you want to call it. I'm not a doctor. It is serious if you get it, especially if your health is already somewhat compromised. It is no reason whatsoever to shut down the country, shut down businesses, and look at, again, the examples of Florida and Texas versus what we've got. Monica's staying home and still got it and got very, very sick. My dad, 88 years old, in California, got it, was very sick for about 30 days, very, very tired, but he survived. It's not a death sentence. And the fact that schools are closed are a crime against children. Chris in Reno. Chris, how are you?
I'm good, Jerry. I'm just getting over the COVID myself. You and I have had so many discussions over the past several years, and I just adore you for being there and providing the people you do, the coverage, the shows you do. You keep us free.
Chris,
hang
on a second. Hang on a second.
Go ahead.
We got time. Let's discuss your COVID, the Rona. How'd you get it, do you think, and what were your symptoms?
I have no idea. I take care of myself. I work out of the gym. I watch what I eat. I'm a retired physician, and I think I could have got it anywhere from the Montrose Republican Women's Meeting to church on Sunday the following day. But I've been sick for 2 weeks, and the only thing that pulled me around was I had two IVs of a medication made by Eli Lilly. It's a monoclonal antibody blocker, and I have privy to that through some friends in town. And you could see improvements in me as the IV dribbled into me. And I think this is really unknown. Nobody knows much about it, but I have friends that have access to this medication. But I've done everything. I've done hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, BHT, L-lysine, vitamin C. I've injected myself with ozone. You can't do enough.
How do you inject yourself with ozone?
Well, I've been using ozone in medicine for almost 40 years, and so the best way is to do an IV, take some blood out of you, put it into a bag of normal saline, dilute it, and fill that bag with ozone. You have to have a medical generator that generates ozone, and you start with O2, which is converted into O3, and you put that into the bag. The body loves ozone, so you kill viruses with that. There's been all kinds of articles, especially in Europe and Italy, where they have done ozone on patients with COVID, and instead of staying in the hospital for 21 days, they were out in 7 days.
All right, Chris, I'm going to try that during the next commercial break, and I'll come back and let you know how it goes. Thanks for the call. I got to take a quick break because I've got to get to Dr. Titus and her email that went out just yesterday. Let's take the quick break and come back. 923-991-884-9910. We'll squeeze you in if we can, or you can text 884-9910. And we'll come right back after this break. And you can't make it up. So we'll just give it to you factually right after this.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
And don't forget, you can stream 92.3 FM Talk now, as well as 991FMTalk.com. Nissan Carson City is the sponsor of our daily news poll. Do you think we should add another state? Washington, D.C., should it become the 51st state? I think I know how you'll vote. I don't know if you heard about LeBron James. I gave up on professional sports long, long time ago. I recommend you do too. They're a political action committee, not a sports team. You probably heard about LeBron James' tweet. It said, "You're next to the picture of the cop that was at the Makia Bryant shooting. She's the girl that was shot just before she was about to stab another girl with a knife. Armstrong and Getty had a phenomenal show this morning, and they get humor out of places where it's hard for other people to get humor, but he should have shot the knife out of her hand? No. He deleted the post, but here's the top tip. Write this down. Don't commit crimes, and your chances of a fatal interaction with police are reduced to near zero. Okay, write that down, LeBron. Here's one for you. Do blacks commit more crimes than whites? Would anyone say that these days? Do blacks commit more crimes than whites? Look it up. And before you cry racist, go to three or four sites before you make up your mind and stick to the facts. Black men, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, commit 52% of all murders, yet they only make up about 13% of the population. 52% of the murders, 13% of the population. So you might say they're outperforming the white population by a factor of 3 to 1. And that's why maybe the media policy is to point out when the killer is white to shame you. And of course, if you don't know, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but I'm pointing out the stupidity of news reporters, news readers, I should say, who glorify in announcing that the shooter is white. And they did that in Colorado, even though the shooter wasn't. Not only were they stupid, they were really, really stupid. I want to do this before I run out of time. This is an email that came out yesterday from Dr. Robin Titus. And if this doesn't essentially make it clear as it could possibly be regarding Republicans here in the state of Nevada, I'll read through some of this real quick. Prior to the session, it was understood that we would largely be focused on the pandemic's devastating effect on our state. And again, let me correct you. It's not the pandemic or the scamdemic. It's the government's devastating effect on the state. Making matters worse, pervasive fraud resulted in 1.9 million unemployment claims, despite Nevada's entire workforce being comprised of only 1.4 million. Can you say voter fraud? They clearly point out to the fact that this is the most partisan session ever in terms of how the majority party is treating the minority party. Boo-hoo, Dr. Titus. Boo-hoo. You can see in 2015, and here's where it's clear. In 2015, when Republicans were in charge, they passed the highest percentage of minority party bills, passing 44% of Democrat bills. And you wonder why you're in the minority? You might as well change your name to Republicrats. It's even worse in the Senate. 14% of Republican bills got passed. A Crimea River. Republicans don't go to the polls and vote for Republicrats or Republicans that work with Democrats and pass nearly half of what they want. You ignorant, foolish people. Dr. Titus, how did you get doctor? And unbelievable. She's boo-hooing and pointing out that Republicans passed 44% of Democrat bills and is crying because the Democrats are not passing Republican bills. What don't you take from this? You know, in fact, stop doing what you've done. You've done enough already. Go home, stay home. I'm quite fine, thank you. I don't need anything from you.